Friday. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah here in the Mobile Kintech studio at Rogers Arena, where the Bonies are out on the ice, giving it a good clean as they get ready for the Canucks and Edmonton Oilers tonight. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And Canucks preseason coverage brought to you by as BC's favorite hockey team kicks off a new season, receive 20% off any regular priced in-stock tile. Visit mytiletown.ca for details. It is the preseason finale as the Canucks get ready for the Edmonton Oilers, and we're finally going to get a mostly full roster, and we have our first guest bringing him back for another season. It's Yannick Hansen. What's happening, Yannick?
Not too much. How are you guys doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. How was your summer?
Hey, gone quick, I guess you could say. We're back at it right now. Obviously, with minor hockey, it started a month and a bit ago, so it seems like we've been in the thick of things now for a while.
And well, our listeners are very happy to have you back on a new deal, a new season with Canucks Central. They're ready for the Honey Badgers takes to come back onto the air. And you know, a big topic so far as we kick off this season has been just how long the preseason is and whether or not it needs to be as long as it is. How did you feel about the preseason as a player? How long did it take you to feel like you were in game shape and ready to go?
Well, it depends of when you ask me. When I was 21, 22, 23, I was ready by the first game. When I was 27, 28, and 29, you weren't ready until game 5, 6, 7. That being said, you don't play 6 or 7 games, but you kind of ramp it up and you approach it a little bit differently. If you're younger, you've gone through rookie camps, prospect camps, and all these things. I know now they play in Penticton. We didn't have the benefit of doing that, so there's a couple of changes there. But the young guys, they're ready for it when that first exhibition game comes. And then you just hope to live to see another game. Whereas the older guys, do you want to get into a game, kind of feel like, okay, now we're hitting each other, slowly ramping it up, making sure you don't get hurt. But as you're getting some minutes in your legs and stuff like that, and then towards now, we're talking about the last preseason games, now you'd like to play that as close as possible to a real game.
When if your player like JT, who is getting one game in here in the preseason, do you think that's enough, or do you think it matters? It doesn't matter too much?
No, that's not optimal. Something must have been going on there, otherwise he would have been playing 2 or 3 minimum. You probably don't need 4. I like to, especially when I was set in my ways, if you will, and set on the team, 3 and 4 games were great. If I played 5, no problem. 2 I wouldn't like, or less is worse, kind of say. It obviously depends on the individual player. Obviously is wrong here, which is why he's only getting into 1. So hopefully he'll be able to hit the ground running, but it's definitely not optimal.
What is it that takes the longest to get back the feel? Is it just puck touches? Is it a sharpness? Is it your cardio level just ramps up to the speed of an NHL game? What is it exactly?
It's getting hit. It's that simple. It's the physical part of it. You can practice the passing, the shooting, all of these things, but you don't hit each other in practice like you do in game. And until you get used to that, coming through traffic, cutting in front of the net, getting cross-checked, getting hit, getting pushed, and all these things, that's what the preseason is for the more experienced players that are already set on the teams. And because, like I said, you can't practice that. You can't get used to it any other way than in games. That's why you need a certain amount of games, a couple of games, to kind of get used to it. Like, okay, that's what it feels again to get run over, kind of thing. It's that. Everything else you can more or less fine tune in practice and in the video meetings, but getting hit, it has to happen. You have to give, you have to take, and a couple of games is preferable here to kind of get used to it. The body doesn't get sore the same way after a little while. So that's probably the biggest one.
This is also our first chance, Yannick, to talk to you about the Canucks offseason as a whole. I know we spoke about some of the big moves they made initially, but you know they were able to fine-tune adding somebody like Kevin Lankinen in goal to give them some more depth in goaltending. They got Daniel Sprong. What do you make of those additions, and what do you think of the overall roster now that we're you know days away from the regular season?
There's only two questions in my mind. What's going on with Demmer, and is Petey reverting back to the 100-point player? Everything else is white noise. I know we're adding players and all these things, and Sprong might be a fine top six addition and all these things, but those are the two questions that have been rooting in my mind since we left when we lost to Edmonton. What's going on? And they haven't been answered yet. Again, it's preseason, so PD is one thing, but Demko, we have really no idea. And that's what scares you, because he was apparently a couple of days away from getting back into game action in the playoffs. 6 months goes by and he's still not ready. So that's a little scary to think about. Again, Petey, if he comes back to the player he was before he signed his deal and all these things, then it looks real good, because you've added some players, Heinen, Sprong, that can play in the top six, DeBrusque as well. So you have different options now where he isn't or shouldn't as much be on an island as he was last year. And hopefully one of these players, some of these players, maybe even three of these players turn out, and then the team will be much improved. And that's saying some, because they had a pretty good team last year, and it's not very often a team can go into the playoff, have a ton of success, and then come back stronger the next year. A lot of times when that happens, the team gets picked apart, players leave, bigger contracts get handed out and all these things. But Vancouver have an opportunity this year to come back better than they were last year. So again, you're hopeful that these players they've added will contribute to that. But again, I go back to Demko and Petey. That's the two biggest question marks we're looking at right now.
Yeah, and it feels like part of those questions, like from my perspective, a lot of those maybe Demko. Injury. We'll find out as the year goes on just how he's able to manage with this new injury that he's got and how he's able to come back from it and play a significant amount of games. But ultimately, like I have a confidence in this team and where it's at and how they finished last year, and I feel pretty comfortable they're going to be a playoff team, Yannick. And Pettersson can score all he wants in the regular season. I'm going to have to see it in the playoffs. And Demko, like if he comes back and he plays at a Vezina level, that's great. But the team needs to see him healthy come April. And it seems like so much of how this team has changed is like, yeah, we're here now and we're contenders. We got to be ready for April and May more than anything else. That's the next evolution of this team.
Yeah, there's no question this season looks different than when we spoke a year ago. A year ago, we were like all bubble and all these teams. The Pacific Division has changed a little bit in the sense it's becoming very top heavy. It's not as deep anymore. Edmonton will obviously still be there. Vegas is still looking good. Maybe not as good as they did in the beginning of last year, but Calgary has fallen off. LA is going to be hurting now with Doughty out for any amount of time. So they're probably taking a step back as well. So it's definitely there for Vancouver in the sense that you should be able to secure a top three position just looking at rosters before we played any games. I know you got to play the games before you can start counting the chickens and all that. But they're looking in a safer spot there. Yeah, we need them in the playoffs now, these guys. We need Petey to perform in the playoffs. We need Demko to actually play a playoff game as well. So there's a couple of things. That being said, you still don't want to rest on your laurels here and mm-hmm. just go into the regular season. Okay, we got this in the bag, and let's just go through 82 games, and then we're going to ramp it up. They have to be ready from the start. We don't know what Utah is going to look like. Seattle, are they going to have a bounce back year as well? So you want to come out, assert yourself. You want to be a team that other team measure themselves against. Because that also pushes your team to play at their highest every night. And that is one of the difficulties in the NHL. It's being good every single night. It's being able to turn it on when it doesn't work, when it isn't going your way. And in the playoffs, that will happen. You have to be able to be good when you aren't. So again, take the regular season for what it is and show it some respect and go out and then come out firing like they did last year and cement themselves that, hey, last year was not a fluke. This is the Vancouver Canucks from now and for the next many years. And it's up to you guys to knock us off here.
Is there something Patterson, is there something you look for in Patterson to show that he's, aside from, you know, scoring points? I mean, I've seen him score. We've all seen him score a lot of points in October and November and December. But is there something you can find or see in his game that'll, project well for the meaningful, the stretch of the season?
Yeah, you need to see him being engaged. Because like you mentioned, the points will come. They'll probably have a good power play against this year. He'll be a part of it. Points will come from that. But how engaged is he in the physical part of the game? Because he can assert himself and take over games when he's physical. We've seen him throw these hits. He's probably coming back a little bit stronger. He should be, at least. He's still in that age where you're growing into your body, your frame, your size a little bit. So hopefully that will come through as well. And then he can become our number one center. And until he becomes that, you're still looking for something from him. He's getting paid 11 something. JT is getting paid 8 something. There's no question here who should be your number one center. But if you look at last season, we were, okay, at some points PD, sometimes JT, but down the stretch and in the playoff, there was no question who our number one center was. That was JT. And that can't really happen with the way you're paying your guys and what you're expecting from him. So he needs to find a way to be the guy, and then JT will do what he hopefully have been doing for the last many years and round out that 1-2 center one punch we got here in Vancouver, and that will make them a lot better. But number one for me is how engaged is he? Does he look interested? Sometimes in the playoff last year, the thing that stood out to me is that one when they get scored on, he could run over in the corner. It just looks disinterested, and when he looked disinterested, he's not engaged. He's not creative. He's waiting for it to happen. So you like to see these players that have a little bit of an edge. And I know we're talking about a very skilled player here, but he can play with an edge. And when he does, it tend to be that's when he really shines.
Yeah, and I think we're still waiting for him to take that level up that Quinn Hughes did last year, and that's kind of what we saw from Quinn, going from obviously a star, superstar defenseman, but to a Norris-winning defenseman. Can Petey take that step this year in terms of being an offensive forward? As far as you mentioned JT, and hey, we'll see what he looks like to begin the season, but now he's entering, you know, he's into his 30s, he's 31 this year. We're talking about a guy that's coming off a career season last year, and he mentioned to IMAC in a piece on Sportsnet that, hey, he'll happily trade 20 points off if he can be a better two-way player and he really cares about being a 200-foot player. What's a good season, and what do you expect to see from JT this year?
If JT puts up a point a game, and that's very black and white, because then we can kind of measure that, but that has to go with the strong two-way player. He has to be the matchup. He has to play against Eichel. He has to play against McDavid. Play that role, play it well, and then put up a point a game, and like you mentioned, that's given up 20 points probably. Then it's a success for what he provides and what he brings. But again, JT is very, very important to this team. And I wouldn't say where he goes, the team goes, because Vancouver is fortunate enough now that they have, I'd say, almost a handful of players, if not four, that kind of drags this team to where it needs to go. So a big season for him will go a long way. And he is that emotional leader on the team. It seems like that he has an ability to not only get himself involved, but drag the team into a fight when they aren't really there or they're needing something extra. So he is, it's hard to ask for more for what he's done over the last 3 or 4 years now, but you hope that he can turn that knob just a little bit more and really push this team.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we saw with the Sedins in their 30s, like they almost became better players and kind of peaked into that 30 age range, and then you kind of level off a little bit in terms of how you keep your play, you know, going at an elite level. And now that he's at this age, what do you think is going to be his biggest challenge to kind of maintain this level the next few years?
Durability. Can you get into 75 games a year and be good? or his injury is going to creep up. Like we mentioned, he plays a rough and tumble style. He fights, he hits, he gets in there where it hurts, and that does take a toll. And as you get older, these wear and tear injuries, groins, hip flexors, all those little things that become nagging starts to gnaw away at you. And once you start getting these ones, now you're always playing catch up. You get back into games, but you're not really 100%. So now you're playing catch up, trying to get better, trying to get yourself to a point where you feel like you're comfortable. But everybody is looking at these players and expecting them to be what you remember them to be like. And that's hard when you're coming off injuries. So durability, there's no question. You got to take care of your body, making sure you're rested, stretched, and all these things. I could come from the couch and play a game. As you get older, it takes a little bit of stretching, a little bit of warm up before you're ready. So you need to listen to your body, getting used to a different routine maybe, and that's not only in season, that's also off season. I know they got a ton of people that are worrying about this and making sure that the players are taken care of, but again, you got to find a way to listen to your body a little bit than maybe you've done in the past.
You know, the question about Demko, and this team showed how much they improved defensively last year under Rick Tocchet. The way that they played significantly improved at the defensive end of the ice, and Demko didn't have to be the superstar every single night, but he still bailed them out more often than not when they did have the occasional breakdown, because that's going to happen every now and again in a hockey game at this level. So my question about that is, you know, if the Canucks don't get the big save off to a bit of a slow start, can that shake the identity that they worked so hard to build last year?
I don't think so. It shouldn't. Because, again, it's the play in front of them. It's the players that needs to make sure that we're right. And then when there is a breakdown, then, yeah, we have a goalie. And again, I don't expect Seelovs to go out and play Vesna caliber goaltending for 60 games like you would expect Demko to do. Short spurts, it's fine and all these things, but it's always the consistency. It's doing it over a long haul. But like coming back to that, the goalie is a separate entity on a team. They're a huge part, don't get me wrong, but it's the players in front of them that needs to make sure that, hey, we're playing the right way, the way we want, our identity, limit opportunities, limit shots, don't give second opportunities, grade A scoring chances, then in all fairness, it doesn't really matter who's in net because the goalies are good enough that they should be able to make the stops. Yeah, we're talking about breakdowns and all these things, and you'd rather have the best guy in between the pipes when it matters the most. But before it comes to that point, it boils down that they have to make sure that they're playing the way that we're taught to play. And then in all fairness, the goalie is just the last line of defense kind of thing. And if everything falls apart, well, you can't expect your goalie to get you where you want to be if the other 18 players aren't doing it.
Quinn Hughes is featured in an Amazon documentary about last year in the playoffs. It's about a lot of these NHL players, and they're trying to show some personality. Connor McDavid's in it and all that. And Quinn was also doing an interview with NHL.com, kind of promoting that. And in it, he mentioned that Rick Tocchet is his favorite coach that he's ever had, how much he loves playing for him. He talked about how much he loves the game. And a lot of the guys really genuinely seem to like this head coach. How much does that matter? And in terms of trying to have a coach that could be here for a long time, does it seem like they might have that answer here with Tocchet?
You hope so. He's definitely brought something else that they were missing under the last, what is it now, three guys. So it seemed like they found some consistency here. Again, he seems like he's straight A type of guy. Like he tells you exactly what he wants and then he expects it. They probably have a ton of respect from him, not just because he's a coach, but he also has that imposing figure. You look up his stats and everything. He's been there. He's done that. He's been around. So he's got everything that you're looking for in a coach. And now again, we're speaking from the outside here, but it seems like he's a good communicator as well. Open door policy, all these things you always hear, but is it really like that when it boils down to it? We don't really know. But it seems like a lot of good things are coming out, and even when players are leaving, there's no whispers or any of this stuff where, okay, this was wrong or he didn't, all these things. So it's really only positive pretty much since day one when he showed up, except that year we could have probably used a better draft pick. But other than that, he's been very good for this club.
So I we've been talking a lot about all the fighting in preseason, and you know, the Canucks' first preseason game here at Rogers Arena. There was a little bit of that going on with the Seattle Kraken, and you know, knowing you were coming back on today, I looked it up, and you did have a preseason fight against Gilbert Brulé in 2009, and I'm reading a follow-up story that you broke a few fingers in that fight. Did that make you rethink fighting in the preseason a little bit?
I don't know. Essentially, AV loved it. I was kind of a bubble player at that point. I think it helped me. Yeah, I was out for 4 or 5 weeks after that. But I made the team without having lit up the preseason, if you will, scoring wise. So it's one of those things. As a young player, you show something little extra, something different. Obviously, I remember it because it did end up costing me a lot of time. Again, looking back, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Again, it worked out pretty well for me. A lot of the fighting that we have seen now has been because of controversial issues, hitting, and all these things. I wish they would take some of that protection away from the hitty here. So, like, Montreal, Toronto guy, he takes out line A. Is it intentional? Is it not? It's knee on knee. You're taking out a star player now. Like, you better expect something is happening. And if you're not willing to drop your glove with somebody, well, then you're going to get forced. And now you're forcing other guys to get fined, suspended, because you've done something a little shady. I wish there was a different way to policing this. Where you wouldn't come down as hard on the players who is trying to stick up for their teammates.
Yeah, just quickly watching the fight, it was clear, like, you guys had discussed before, because the face-off happens, then you both just, like, drop your mitts and your helmets.
We played a little bit against each other in junior as well, a couple of years prior. So, again, he wasn't the biggest guy, so it wasn't one I was afraid of getting tossed around by. So I thought it was a pretty fair fight in my eyes, at least. So it was one of those things. I don't have a ton of them, but it was one of them.
I can see you landed a few. Maybe that's where the broken fingers came. Yannick, we appreciate the time and the insights, as always. Glad to have you back for another season.
Sounds good. Take care, guys. Talk to you guys next week.
There he is. The best. Yannick Hansen joining us. And as always, a flood of messages and tweets about how much they appreciate Yannick joining us here on the program.
Yeah, I remember that fight. And, you know, Brulé being the local boy as well.
Yeah.
Played for the Giants and also from the Lower Mainland. And I remember that created quite the reaction. Call from Caribou said, I think Brulé dislocated his shoulder in that preseason fight with Yannick, too. I don't think he's wrong. I remember, like, both guys got hurt, and it was like this big talking point about
staged fights,
you know, and also and preseason fighting. Is it even worth it? Both these guys are getting hurt. Here's a star young prospect in Brulé.
In Yannick's mind, it helped him make the team.
Exactly, but, like, from the outside, in terms of the conversation, it was very much
I think about it to relate it to a player like Vilmar Ulriksson. Clearly came into camp willing to drop the gloves.
Yeah.
Right? He did it in a Young Stars game, and then he does it in that first preseason game against Seattle. You see it across the league, like, young guys I don't know if they want to. Connor Geeky, you know, jumping off the bench. I know he gets a preseason game suspension for it. But, like, you know, young guys want to show that they're willing to participate in that area of the game. It wins some brownie points with teammates and maybe even brownie points with your coach.
Honestly, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but Vilmar Ulriksson fighting John Hayden, who's a 6'3", like, for today's day and age, he's considered an enforcer, right?
He's a bit, yeah, he's kind of a heavyweight.
He's a heavyweight, right? Like, and he's had like over 20 fights in the NHL, so it's not somebody who, you know, only fights every once in a while. Like, yeah. A legitimate heavyweight fighter, right? And he held his own.
Yeah.
And this exponentially increased Ulrichsson's chances of being an NHL player.
Yeah.
Because now they're going to look at him and say, hey, can he be a physical specimen?
Yeah.
And if he can be, then what are we talking about here? We're talking about a guy that can maybe score 10 goals and he can fight. Can he be a heavyweight like him?
It's as we said about Ulrichsson, it's like he's realized maybe he doesn't have the skill to be a top end player in the NHL. That's obvious as a fourth round pick, but he's finding ways that he can create extra pathways to the National Hockey League.
No, absolutely. And I think he should, you know, we'll see what he does this year in the OHL.
Yeah.
But now he's on the radar.
Good chat there with Yannick. We'll digest a little bit of it, come back with our reactions, also get into the open and the Canucks Central roundup. A lot of tidbits of news that we want to get to today here on Canucks Central, live from Rogers Arena, the site of the preseason finale. Edmonton Oilers on tap for a 7 o'clock puck drop here on Sportsnet 650.